Matthew 25:14-30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You know that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus says. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, maybe you have, of working for someone, but you didn't get paid fairly. You're working for someone, and they don't pay you what you deserve. And I've asked the ministry apprentices not to nod their heads at this point. But have you ever had that experience? Seriously? You work and you don't get rewarded. What happens to you? You get demotivated. It's almost impossible to stay motivated if you're working and not getting paid for what you do. There's no incentive. There's no motivation to work. You know, it just strips you of all motivation. So imagine you're working hard, very hard. You're working on a deal. This is going to be a great deal. And you spend weeks putting it together. Late nights with a pencil, scheming, planning. You visit the client after hours. This is not a 9-to-5. You're killing it. And you visit the client at your expense. You wine and dine the client. You go to his silly daughter's ballet. You know, you go to the extra lengths. You even give him, you know, he can use your season tickets to the Eagles. That's how far you're willing to go. You forego your holiday. What are your colleagues doing? They're all in Denmark or up. They're having a great holiday. Not you. I'm not getting a holiday. You work on this. And finally, you land the contract. Yes, you get the contract. And what happens? Your boss gets a promotion. Your boss gets recognition. The company makes $1 million and you get, hey, nice work, mate. You just get your salary. How do you feel? You start to despise your employer. This is mean. This is stingy. This is not what I deserve. You start to believe you're being exploited. You become disincentivized, or if there's such a word, or demotivated. Why am I killing myself? Why am I working so hard? I'm not getting anything for it. I'll go work for myself. Or you know what I'll do? I'll just plod. I'll just plod like everyone else. I'm not going to kill myself for this. Even the Bible says, don't muzzle an ox when it treads the grain. A worker is worthy of his wages. Now, the reason I begin like this is because would you believe some people think that God is a stingy boss? Do you know some people think that? Some people think that God is a mean employer. It's not worth living for God. Why should I live for God? What do I get out of it? I'm just going to plod. Many Christians who believe in God think God is giving them a raw deal. He doesn't pay me what I deserve. You know, God, I've given up so much for you. What have I got to show for it? Or I've been putting effort into my Christianity. Oh my goodness, I set that alarm. I read. Do you know how many TV shows I haven't watched? I put effort in. And I feel like I've been shortchanged. I haven't been paid well. God, you're a hard taskmaster. You're hard. Jesus knows what we think. And so look at what Jesus says in verse 24 and 25 on the other side. Look at how he puts our thoughts in the words of this man. Look at verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. See? That's what he thinks of the master. He thinks that's what the master's like. Is that what you think God is like? Be honest. Do you know the parable of the prodigal son? Remember the older son. Remember what the older son said. Father, all these years I've been faithfully serving you. You never gave me a fattened calf. You never let me have my friends round and throw a party for me. I'm not sure it's worth serving you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. So I don't know who you work for. But I hope you're looking for a better deal. I want to show you this morning that Jesus Christ offers the best deal imaginable. I want to show you this morning. I think you will see that Jesus Christ is the best master imaginable. We're going to see three things from this parable. Here's the first. The master entrusts his servants with his business. The master entrusts his servants with his business. Look with me there at verse 14. Jesus says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." Now, just before we carry on, look at the words, it will be. What it will be? What does that mean? Well, if you've been coming along to North Coast Church, we've been looking at these parables. And not last week, but the week before, we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins. What's going on in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, where this parable comes from? Jesus has been talking about his going away and his return. It's all about Jesus coming back. So if you were here 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins, and you will hopefully remember, that was all about Jesus teaching us there's going to be a delay. It's going to be a long time before he comes back. Prepare for the long haul. Now, this parable today follows directly after the parable 2 weeks ago. And in this parable, it's not so much about the delay, it's about getting to work while he's gone. Getting to work until he returns. But in this parable, we're going to see what the incentive is to work for Jesus until he returns. So obviously, the master is Jesus. Verse 14. It will be like a man going on a journey. Now look what he does. He calls his servants and he entrusts to them, look closely, his property. The master owns everything. Hear this. The master owns everything. It's all his. Everything is his stuff. He entrusts his servants with his stuff. And already we're starting to see what kind of master he is. Look, he doesn't say to his servants, all of you come here, give me your stuff. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say to them, all right, all of you, I want you to invest your money into my business. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm going away, don't you touch my stuff. You leave my stuff alone till I get back. No, we're already seeing what kind of master he is. He entrusts everything that he has, his stuff, to his servants. It's all the master's. Everything you have. Quickly, think of what you've got. Everything you have is the master's. It's not yours. Everything is the master's, but he entrusts it to his servants. I know you're tempted to believe, you may have come here this morning, and you think you own stuff. But you do. Compared to other people, you do. In relation to other people, you do. We're not communist. In communism, the state owns everything. We live in Australia. The state doesn't own everything. You own stuff. But only in relation to other people. In relation to God, you own nothing. Nothing. It's all the master's stuff. Hands up this morning if you have created anything. Have you created anything? Nobody. Not one person. All we do is rearrange stuff that God has created. Everything you have is the master's. Your brains, your health, your raw materials, your opportunities, your time, your abilities. These are all the master's stuff, and he's entrusted it to you. And therefore, there will be a settlement. Look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And you might be sitting there going, no, I don't like this idea. Who's got the right to tell me what I must do with my body? Who's got the right to tell me what I must do with my stuff? You know that's true. Except you don't have any stuff. You don't. Your body's not your own. Yes, it is. I've lived in this for a long time. It's still not your own. The master owns it all. And so there will be an accounting. You will have to settle accounts. Everything. Let me prove it to you. You might be sitting here saying, well, that's a lovely Christian idea. No, let me prove it to you. I will prove to you that everything you have belongs to the master. Take your body. No one can touch my body. Really? One day, your body will be taken from you. You'll have no say. And you will hang on to it. It'll be taken from you. This week I saw those shocking movies of the abuse of those old folk. Did you see that? You know, that, anyway, it's too horrible, but that was a strong young man who could have defended himself once. He would have beaten up that guy, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. But he lies in a bed with some dude feeding him with a spoon and abusing him. You won't be in control of your own body. One day someone will clean you. It'll be taken from you. It's not yours. What about your stuff? It's my stuff. No one can touch my stuff. Yeah, it will all be taken from you, except me. Because what I did was I phoned Seasons of Life. And when I get buried in Pinneroo, I've asked them if I can have a trailer. And I'm going to put all my stuff in the trailer and it's going to be hooked on the hearse and taken to Pinneroo with me. All my kites, my surfboards, they come in with me. Really? Your stuff is going to be taken from you. Your abilities. Have you got abilities? They'll be taken from you. Do you think Roger Federer is going to serve like he does now when he's 90? That ability will be taken from him. Or Adele. Do you think Adele's going to be able to sing when she's 90 years old? There she is in her golden coffin in her private graveyard, dead. Do you think she'll still be belting out "Hello" from the other side? Yeah, it's not, it's, or whatever. It's, the master gives and the master takes back. Did you hear that? None of us here have got to say. The master gives, the master takes back, the master calls us to account. The only question is, what kind of master is he? Is he a nice master? Or is he grumpy and stingy? It's the only question. Notice the master doesn't give the same to everyone. Look at verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The master doesn't give the same to everyone because it's his stuff. He decides what he will give. Now, everyone, is the heat getting to you? Are you awake? Let's fix a mistake. Are you ready? A talent is not an ability. I know we've got, England's got talent, Australia's got talent. That is a misuse of this parable, because the English language has taken the word talent based on a misunderstanding of this passage and made it an ability. It's not. A talent is not an ability. Look closely at verse 15. It shows you it's not an ability. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, to each according to his ability. Talent and ability is not the same thing. What is a talent? Well, it tells you there. Look in verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Talent is money. Talent in the parable, the word talon, is simply weight. It's a measurement. It's a weight. It's a large, heavy weight. In money terms, a talent is about 6,000 drachmas. And you're going, what's that in Australian dollars? I look, it's not on the stock exchange. It's an old currency. It's 6,000 drachmas. Let me put it to you in bottom lines. Listen, 1 talent of silver is about 20 years' wages. It's massive. It's massive. 1 talent is 20 years' worth of wages. In other words, everyone, the master is being stupendously generous. When Jesus tells this parable, you and I go, oh, it's hot in here. When those were listening to Jesus and he says, I gave this guy a talent, they were like, oh, did you really? Wow, why so much? Jesus has given to the guy with 1 talent 20 years' wages. To the guy with 2 talents, 40 years' wages. And to the guy with 5 talents, 100 years' worth of wages. It's vast. Do you still think the master is stingy? Do you? Do you still think he's stingy? Imagine you're a janitor in the city, cleaning those toilets. I don't know why they can't flush properly, but there you are. And you're cleaning the toilets. And suddenly you look behind you, and here's this dude in I don't know the names. What's a cool name? Calvin Klein suit or something. You know, there's a guy in the suit standing behind you while you're cleaning the toilets. And it turns out it's the boss who's come down from the 72th floor just to meet you. And there he is with you. And he looks at you and you're like, and he says to you, mate, I want you to know I trust you. I'm going away for a while. Here's the keys to my office on the 72th floor. Yeah. In fact, I want you to run this whole place while I'm gone. Actually, you can live in my house. I've got a Ferrari there. You're welcome to use that whenever you want to. Actually, you can just have everything, okay? Just be faithful. Does that sound like a stingy boss? The master is generous, very generous. Okay, Dwayne, if it's not an ability, what is the talent actually? What does it mean? Here's what it is. The master has entrusted to his servants a precious fortune. What is that fortune? It is the master's business. The Bible teaches us, especially Matthew 24 and 25, our context, that we have the responsibility for growing the kingdom of God. That's what's been entrusted to us. That's what's so precious. Let me say it carefully. The talent is the precious treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ to grow the kingdom of God. I don't have time, but I'll just quickly. The Bible tells us this everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 2, we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I've been entrusted. 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 2, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men also. Let me say it again. The master's business, which he has entrusted to his servants, is growing the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a talent. That's what's been entrusted to us. There is one business, the Christian business. But we've all got different responsibilities. We've all got different, as it says in verse 15, abilities. One person will go to Bunnings. Oh, I hate that place. One person will go to Bunnings. They will buy things. And they will come and fix things according to his ability for the kingdom of God. Another person will operate Excel and track church finances according to her ability for the kingdom of God. Others will welcome people and talk to them and make conversation according to her ability for the kingdom of God. Some will counsel people in times of distress, draw alongside and help people according to their ability for the kingdom of God. Some will evangelize, big mouths, never stop talking, tell people about Jesus according to their ability for the kingdom of God. Some will make tea. I saw it this morning. I saw people making tea, serving the master for the kingdom of God. It's the same business, growing the kingdom with the gospel, but different responsibilities and different abilities. That's what Christians are on about. If you're not yet a Christian this morning, you're also working on a kingdom, your own kingdom. We here, we're working on the master's kingdom. The master entrusts his servants with his business. Secondly, the master rewards his servants for faithfulness. Have a look with me there at verse 16. He had received the 5 talents, went at once. I love the eagerness. Can't wait. Hallelujah. He had received the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them. He ain't no plodder. This guy's keen. And he made 5 talents more. Verse 17. So also he had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Oops. Same responsibility. Same talent, different according to their abilities, but a massive difference in terms of response. Now look at 19 to 23. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more. And the master said, Master, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. Now, what kind of master do you think he is? What are you thinking? Is he mean? I want you to see two repeated phrases. Two. Here they are. First of all, in verse 21, the first phrase, look at this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Look at this, look at this. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And it's repeated for us in verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Can you believe it? The master says 20 years' wages is little. Little. How generous is the master? In other words, Jesus is saying, everything you have, the air you breathe, the food, your family, your relationships, your things, your houses, your boat, your car, your dogs, Jesus says it's very little. And you're all saying, yes, but I've been saying that for a long time. That's not what I mean. What he's saying is, wait till you see what I'll entrust you with if you're faithful. Can you see how generous he is? The master's saying, everything you have is little. Wait till you see what I'm going to give you. I entrusted you with a little. You were faithful. I'm going to give you much. Wow, he's so generous. How excited would you be if you believed that? That everything you have, Jesus thinks is little. And when he returns, he's going to give you much. Don't you think that's exciting? Don't you get excited? Imagine you work for a bookshop. So you work in this bookshop, right? Your first job out of college. You work as a customer sales representative, which just means a behind the till. But anyway, you work in this bookshop for a geeky, bald guy. I'm making this up. Let's call him Jeff Bezos. So I'm making this up. And it's a bookshop. And he says to you, hey, you know, you really try hard. It's not a great job just selling books and taking the rubbish out every day. But you know, you do well. I'll tell you what. If this bookshop ever takes off, I'm going to put you in charge of the whole thing. Okay? You might be excited. You might think, well, that's a lovely thought. Although I can't see a bookshop ever taking off, especially not one called Amazon. I mean, what are the chances of that, right? So you're not that excited. But imagine if you knew what Amazon was going to become. And the master says, I'm going to put you in charge of much if you just take the rubbish out with joy. Don't you think you would take the rubbish out with joy? Don't you think you'd be motivated? Don't you think you'd be so excited? You'd be incentivized. You'd be so, Jesus says, I've entrusted you with little. If you're faithful, I will entrust you with much. Way more than Amazon. More than anything this world can offer. No wonder David, the king, the rich king, David says, what's David's career aspirations? Oh, that I were a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. There's ambition for you. Second phrase, repeated twice. We're trying to understand, what's the master like? It's there in the second half of 21. You've been faithful over little. I'll set you over much. Look at the second line. Enter into the joy of your master. Look at the end of verse 23. Enter into the joy of your master. Can you believe it? The master says, enter into my joy. If you're a master, and we don't really have this in Australia, but where I come from in South Africa, we have it. Imagine you come home and you're the master and your servant has done the garden and cleaned the pool and mowed the lawn and cooked dinner. What do? You come home, you sit down, and the servant has to serve you even more. That's normal. It's what I'm paying them for. Actually, the word in this parable is not servant. It's slave. These are slaves of the master. Oh, well, if you're generous, you'll go, hey, you know what? You've done a great job. You can have the night off. Oh, you're so generous. Oh, you know what? You're such a good servant. You can have a raise. Oh, no, not Jesus. He comes home and says, enter into your master's joy. Come, come inside. Share everything with me. It's all yours. All that I have is yours. My house is your house from now on. My joy is your joy. What? That is stupendously generous. In John's gospel, we know what that joy is. It's the joy of the relationship that the Son has with the Father. Jesus is saying, no longer will you be a servant when I return. You will be my child, a co-heir with me, and a child of God. You will be my friend. The Master is magnificently magnanimous. You all know what magnanimous is. I know you do. Imagine you're an employer and you employ an investment broker. Let's call him Bob. Why is it always Bob? Because it's my favorite palindrome. So there's Bob. And you say, Bob, here is $1 million. Please look after my money. I'm going away. I'll come back. Look after. Do a good job, mate. Bob goes. And you come back. And there's 1.2 million. Bob, you beauty. Well done, mate. Here's your agreed fee, $10,000. But mate, you've done such a good job. Here are season tickets to the Eagles. That's generous. I can imagine that. I could never imagine you saying to Bob, mate, keep the 1.2 million. You've done so. No. I've got more where that came from. You can have it all. You can come live. You can inherit everything I have. Have you heard of an employer that does that? That's what this master is like. That's his true nature. Is your employer that generous? Why are you working so hard for so little return? Why are you working for yourself? Do you pay yourself as well as this master does? I would seriously ask you to think about taking up employment with Jesus. You should hear about the supernatural. You wouldn't believe it. Thirdly and finally, the master entrusts his servants with his business. The master rewards his servants for faithfulness. And the master fires the unfaithful servant. Have a look with me at verse 24. Look closely. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. Is that true? Is that true? So I was afraid. I went, I hid your money, your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. Here, take it back. I don't want it. Keep your own stuff. I don't want it. Is it true? Is that what the master's like? Is that fair? Why didn't the servant work for the master? Why not? Was it risk? Verse 25, look what it says. So I was afraid. Was he afraid of risk? I'm just risk averse. It's not about risk. It's about resentment. He didn't like the master. He had a wrong picture of the master. He thought the master was horrible. He has such a bad view of the master. I'm not going to work for him. In fact, he probably didn't even like the word master. Hands up if you like the word master. Let's change it. Let's call him Father Christmas in the sky. That's a nicer word. Or what about the old man upstairs? That's a much better word than master. Or what about this? He's the God who will give me whatever I want as long as I name it, claim it, and have enough faith. That's a much better God. No, he is the master. He will never change. And if you harbor wrong thoughts about him, your own words will condemn you. Look at verse 26. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. So, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Is that what you think of me? Is that what you think of me? In that case, why didn't you do the bare minimum. Look how generous he still is. Look at verse 27. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. God is saying, I didn't ask for the world. I did not ask for the world. If you thought I was so bad, why didn't you do the bare minimum? And I would have still rewarded you. God is not asking too much of us. He has done everything for us. The master came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. The truth is, the master went and hung on a cross for you. Jesus has not asked anyone here to die for their own sins. He said, I will do it. I will die for you. Jesus hung on that cross and earned your salvation. You don't have to earn it. Jesus fought to breathe because he was fighting for your place in his kingdom. That's an awesome employer. Will your employer die for you? He has worked for you. Heaven is a gift. You can never earn it. It's free. And he gives us strength and grace to now serve him in gratitude and joy. In fact, he gives us the very strength and grace we need. What employer would say to you, hey, mate, here's the company, I nearly said church credit card, but then I'd be fired on the spot. What I mean is, imagine if some company said to you, mate, here's the company credit card. Use it whenever you need to. No employer will do that. God does. I will give you my spirit whenever you need it, all the time. I will be with you 24/7. I will answer all your prayers. I will walk this road. The Bible says it is God in you who works to will and to do his good pleasure. I will even give you the motivation. This is the best employer in the world. But know this, he will fire unfaithful servants. Look at verse 30. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you thought it was hot here this morning, can you believe that God, we don't like this, Australian culture, ooh, can you believe that God in verse 30 will look at a human being and say to them, you are worthless? Oh, never, never. Not the God I believe in. Well, you better change the God you believe in. According to Jesus, God will say that. He will look at some people and he will say, you are worthless. And everything you have will have been for nothing. You're thinking to yourself, so glad I'm not a Christian. I don't work for ANZ Bank, so ANZ Bank can't fire me. Silly. Even if you're not a Christian, the earth is the Lord's. Everything you're breathing, his air. You're thinking with the brains, you're still using the master's stuff. You will be called to account. You will be. You heard it here. You will see it's true. The master entrusts his servants with his business. The master rewards his servants for faithfulness. The master fires the unfaithful servant. Let's close. Where's the sting? I've been coming here over summer. Where's the sting? I want a sting. It's there for you in verse 28 and 29. Look at it with me and we'll close with this. First of all, there's a phenomenal incentive. So take the talent from him, that's the worthless servant, oh my goodness, and give it to him who has 10 talents. Oh my goodness, that's not fair. Verse 29, for to everyone who has will more be given. He will have in abundance. Folks, hear the incentive. Your father knows every little thing you do for him. Did you stand in the sun at 49 degrees Celsius directing people into a car park? Asking yourself, it's time I found another church?
Your Father knows what you do. He knows. Look what it shows you. He will have, your Father's good pleasure is to give you more and more and more. Look at these two verses quickly in the New Testament. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. God won't forget. Whatever you do. Have a look at the next line. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He knows. But don't presume on his generosity. Look at the end of verse 29. But from the one who has not, here comes the sting, even what he has will be taken away. What a sting. You heard Jesus this morning. He's entrusted so much to you. He gave you brains. He brought you to a Bible teaching church. You're not at a Christian rock concert. You're at a Bible teaching church. You've heard his words. Don't presume. Don't sit there and nod. I agree with Jesus. He's not after that. Obey him. What is it you will be doing for him this year, 2019? Where in the kingdom will you be about your master's business? What are you going to do? Actually, nothing. North Coast Church, we're on leave. We're on leave till the 10th of February when the church ramps up, and you will see there is so much to be done for the master. Even Sunday school, I was chatting to the Sunday school leaders, how we would love more people to volunteer to teach these little ones about Jesus. There's so much to be done. Get busy with your master's business.